Hallelujah. Would you stand, please, at this time? Our guest speaker this morning is Pastor Doug Chesson. When I see Brother Chesson, I automatically think elder. Not because he's older than I am, but because he just carries himself with such dignity and authority and grace. Just when I see him, he just has that air about him. And he's a special guest, a special friend of the Brown family and of Calvary Gospel Church. He was the Brown's pastor. If you were at the wedding yesterday, you know that he dedicated Rachel. I'm sure it was a great thrill for him to be involved in the wedding. He's means a lot to the family of God, and especially the family of God here at Calvary Gospel Church. We want Pastor Doug Chesson to come and minister the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Give God the praise today. Amen. Amen. So good to be with you. I couldn't hear a lot of what he's saying because I've reached a point in life where something's happened to one of my ears. And we were in the bishop's office a while ago. I said something about it. He said, well, all of us, but pointed at one fella, said he's the only one that doesn't seem to have the hearing problem in here too. So I guess I'm in good company today. Praise God. It's good to be with you again. It's been several years since we've been here, but we're so thankful for what God has been doing and the beautiful spirit of worship in this place today. I'm thankful for the worship of the saints of God. Folks, when you begin to worship God, you build the Lord a habitation of praise. And His Word lets us know He will dwell in that habitation of praise when we build it for Him. Praise God. It's certainly good to be with our good friends, Brother and Sister Brown, their family. We had quite a time of fellowship, of course, to be here for Rachel's wedding, sort of stand in as substitute grandparents. She's in touch with us quite a bit, talks with us on the phone, and so we found out she was getting married, and we said, well, we're going to be here. So we're glad to be with you today, and had all the kids over yesterday afternoon and did some cookout and played some games and just had a good time of fellowship. And they got me involved in a game that I'd never played before, never seen before, had a hard time understanding, but they gave me a counselor, gave me a good partner, and was doing pretty good, you know. Sister, where's she at? All right. Jessica was my partner sitting across from me, and we were doing pretty good. My counselor was sitting on this side. Rebecca was my counselor, and we was doing pretty good. And then they said, oh, he can't hear what you're saying over there. So she got over on my other side so I could hear what she was saying. Things went downhill. But then we pulled it out and we won. Yahoo! Amen. So we pulled the game out of the fire and had a great time of fun with it. I believe that we as children of God need to recognize that the Lord has given us life. And He said we should live it more abundantly. So I tell people He's given us the capacity to laugh, and I like to do my share of it. Praise God. Well, let's go to the Word of God today in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Again, I give honor to your bishop today. Appreciate this fine man of God. Of course, your pastor not here. I've met him, I think, in time past, but don't know him very well. I do come from the same part of the country that your fine bishop does, only about 3 or 4 hours south of where he grew up, down in East Texas, and I'm down in the Houston-Beaumont area. And so we have a number of things in common. So if I say something today, maybe you will understand it, him having use probably some of the same idioms and some of the same vernacular that I tend to use. I'll never forget, we had a young lady came to our church when I pastored in Georgia, and we were going to have a potluck lunch at the church. And of course, there we said we were going to have dinner on the ground. Well, she came from Wisconsin, and she looked at my wife, and she said, "Why are we putting the dinner on the ground?" My wife had to explain to her it was dinner served on the grounds. You know, we were on the grounds of the church. Okay. Second Samuel chapter 9, something that I have looked at a number of times over the years and did a little looking into, and today, I want to try to picture or paint you a picture of salvation. I believe that the Lord wants us to have His salvation in our lives, and He's made provision for it. I find this picture in 2 Samuel in chapter 9. It's the story of David and Mephibosheth, who is the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul. Beginning at the very first verse of chapter 9, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may shew the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? God bless you. You may be seated. As I said, I believe that this is a real picture of salvation, for the simple reason that when you consider the life of Mephibosheth, you consider the situation, you consider where he was at, you have to recognize that he was in a situation of ruination. He was in a place where there was no real hope. He was in a place of devastation. And because of that, he also, as having been the son of Jonathan and the grandson of Saul, because of that, traditionally, he was an enemy of the king. He was considered that. Many times I am told that in that time of our history and so forth in the Bible, that when a new king came on the throne, he destroyed all the lineage of previous kings so that there could be no one to rise up against him. And so anyone who was in the lineage of a previous king was considered an enemy. And anyone who possibly might try to lift themselves up to take away the throne and to bring it back into the lineage of their own heritage was considered an enemy to the king. And so this is something that when we look at it, we recognize it, that you and I, as sinners in the world, we are an enemy of the glory of God. The scripture tells us that our flesh is enmity against the Spirit, because our flesh does not want to be subject to the Spirit of God. And because our flesh wants to rule us instead of allowing the Spirit of God in our lives, we fit into this category of Mephibosheth. We are an enemy of the king. If we have not been filled with the Spirit of God, if our life has not been transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost, then we are on the opposite side of the Spirit of God. I am persuaded today that there is no gray area when it comes to salvation. You either have Jesus Christ and salvation in your life, or you do not have Jesus Christ and you do not have salvation in your life. Because my Bible tells me that neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the door. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. He talks a lot about him being the way. I believe today that Jesus is the way. You believe that? Praise God. You believe that really down in your heart? You see, we need to recognize that the message of Jesus Christ today is a message that our world needs to hear. There are so many different ways that are in our world today, and some of them have this good point, and some of them have that good point, and even the Bible itself talks about there being many trumpets or many voices, and none of them are without signification. But I want you to know today that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. He is the door. Praise God. Amen. So we have to recognize that in our sin, then we are an alien. We are an outsider. And I could go into other verses in the New Testament that talks about our being an alien from the commonwealth, that we are foreigners. But I'm glad that we've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our world does not want to hear about the crucifixion. Our world does not want to hear about the blood of Jesus Christ. Many people say, oh, why do you want to always talk about Jesus? I want you to know why. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We need to exalt the name of Jesus today. Praise God. I think sometimes, and I am guilty of it, or have been guilty of it, I've tried to back away from it so much, but sometimes we jump right into Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and I believe in repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But you notice in the second chapter of Acts that Peter's message was Jesus Christ. Praise God. Paul said, I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Our world needs to know Jesus loves them. Wherever you are today in your walk, wherever you are today in your life, whatever sin you have committed, let this preacher tell you today, Jesus loves you as an individual. Yes, he loves this congregation today, but he loves you. And I don't have time to go down the line and point to each of you, but I could do it and tell you, Jesus loves you as an individual. Praise God. And he knows who you are. He knows everything about you, and yet he still loves you. Praise God. Amen. I get a little facetious sometimes when I talk about it, because he said that he knows even the hairs on our head are numbered. Well, he hadn't had to have too much of a calculator lately to keep up with mine. But someone pointed out to me a long time ago that it doesn't say that your hairs are counted, but they are numbered. There is a difference. Hello. So if you're combing or brushing your hair and one comes out, that's not just a hair that the Lord takes off of the count, but he says that's hair number 10,472. Praise God. I'm glad I've got a God that knows me so intimately, hallelujah, that he knows the number of the hair on my head. Praise God. And that's the reason we need to recognize that he knows where we are. And that's why it is so amazing that we who were dead in trespasses and sin, that we who were living a life of immorality, of a life of degradation, that we were living a life of lies, that we were living a life of this or that or the other. Perhaps you've been involved with alcohol or drugs or things of that nature. I want you to know today that the God that I serve, the Lord Jesus Christ, is able and does deliver from all of those things. Hallelujah. I've seen him do it, you see. So it doesn't matter today that you're considered an enemy. And it doesn't matter today that you're lame. You see, Mephibosheth, when Saul was deposed and when he was defeated by the Philistines and they began to run, his nurse dropped him. Mephibosheth became lame in his feet. He couldn't get around on his own. Brenda, I want to tell you what. You talk about something that crippled you. Sin crippled you. So many people feel like, oh, I'm liberated. I'm living the life that I want to live. I'm doing what I want to do. I can do whatever I desire. Oh, you really think so? You really think so? See, I found out a long time ago when I thought I was living it up, that really I was just being led around. Huh? Any of you been on a farm? I know you used to have some farms. You know, you take a great big old hog, you put a ring in his nose, and you lead that hog anywhere you want him to go. He may be twice as big as you are. He may have all kinds of strength, but you put that ring in his nose, and friend, he'll just... You see, I know what it's like to be out there. Oh yeah, it's been 50 plus years now that I've been preaching the gospel, but I have never forgotten where I used to be. And I thank God today, I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. Yeah, I used to be lame. I used to be drug around because the devil had me by the nose. The devil had my nose into all sorts of evil. But Jesus, praise God, didn't care that I was lame. Jesus didn't care that I couldn't control myself. Jesus didn't care that the devil was trying to destroy me. He came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm talking about a picture of salvation today. You see, it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. I've seen the drug addict. I've seen the prostitute. I've seen various other people delivered from the power of Satan. I want you to know today, Jesus loves you. You may not recognize the lameness in your life, but Mephibosheth knew that he was lame. He knew that he had a problem. Then another thing, if you'll notice in these verses of Scripture, Scripture says that he was in a far country. He was in the house, I believe, of Malchus or something of that nature. I'm not too good at pronouncing some of the names. My English bishop gets a little butchered up once in a while, and my Texas accent sort of works on it a little bit. But I did a little looking into where he was at, and I found that one commentator says that the house of Lodibar was a place of no bread. Another commentator says that it was the place without fields. And so really they go together, because if there are no fields, then there can be no grain. And if there's no grain, then there will be no bread. And I wonder today, in a congregation of this size, and I'm sure that there are those in this place, that you're living a life of quiet desperation because you're struggling in your spiritual life because there's something that is missing there. You haven't been at the table where the bread of life has been served. You have not been able to sit in the presence of Almighty God and feel His presence move inside of you and begin to do something in your soul. I'm here today to offer you the opportunity, hallelujah, to come to the King's table. Amen. You may be today in the place of no bread. You may be today in a place of desolation. You may be today in a place of no fields, but I've offered you a hope today. Jesus loves you, and He wants you to know that you can have something real. Amen. There's nothing like living for God. Amen. I grew up there in East Texas and didn't have a whole lot. Wanted to see the world, so I joined the Navy. Saw San Diego, California. I'm serious. Went to boot camp at Naval Training Station, Naval Training Center. Went to A school at Naval Training Center. And then, lo and behold, and you're talking about one unhappy sailor, and I fit the description, I cussed the blue streak when I found out I was getting my permanent duty station. Yep, Naval Training Center. Joined the Navy from East Texas to see the world. Grew up wearing striped overalls and homemade shirts out of feed sacks. Going barefoot so much that the bottoms of my feet got like shoe leather. I'm not asking for your sympathy, because God has blessed me tremendously. You see, but I was trying to do it my way. God put a call in my life, and I ran from it. Sort of like Jonah. Anybody ever heard of Jonah? Yeah, fortunately, I didn't get on a ship and they didn't have to throw me overboard. I was a dry land sailor. But God began to work. You see, sometimes my life was so desolate. I sought it in various things. And I know what it is to drink and to carouse and to go down into Tijuana, Mexico and waste my money and all these sorts of things. And I didn't realize at the time that the devil was just trying to drag me around. And he had me in a far country and my life was desolate. But there was somebody that was still praying for me. Praise God. Folks, don't ever give up on your prayers for somebody. They may be in a far country, but God knows where they're at. I said, God knows where they're at. I had a precious preacher's wife that had been my pastor when I was in high school. And I would get a letter from her, and when I got that letter and saw the return address, I'd stick it in my pocket. Because, you see, I was a big, you know, I didn't have quite all of this, but I was a big guy. I was a proud guy. I mean, I didn't mind getting involved in stuff. One day, one of the other companies in our camp there, they sort of gave us a little bit of problem, and I pulled together a squad of guys, and we went marching right through their territory, just daring them. What are you saying? What I'm saying is I didn't care, you see, because the devil had a hold of me, and he had me in such a desolate place that I was not able to get in touch with the Spirit of God. God was merciful. God was kind to me. And I want you to know he's no respecter of persons today. If he can do it for me, my friend, I don't care who you are or where you are. He loves you today and he can do it for you. You say, Brother Chesson, you keep saying that he loves me. Yes, I want you to know that Jesus loves you as an individual. And I'm going to keep saying it because that's the thing that people need to know in our world today. And if you're in a desolate place today, if you're in the land of Lodibar, Jesus wants to supply you. He wants to give you an abundance of bread in your life. Not the natural bread, but he wants to give you a spiritual bread. He wants to give you a spiritual drink, just like he told the woman at the well there in John chapter 4 when he said, the water that you drink here, you'll thirst again, but the water I give you, you'll never thirst. Hallelujah. It'll be in you a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. I'm glad I've got that well today. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Worship the Lord for a moment, can we? Hallelujah. God, we magnify your name. Jesus, praise God. Amen. You see, he was in that far country, the place of no bread. But oh, he didn't realize it. But the king was looking for him. You see, Mephibosheth didn't go looking for the king. You hear me today? I said Mephibosheth didn't go looking for the king. The king went looking for him. And those of us that have been born again of water and spirit, we didn't find Jesus. Come on. I said we didn't find Jesus. He found us. I said he found us. In a long, long way off. And he came, robed himself in flesh, and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But he came, put his life on the line for us. For you. You see, when you were unlovable. And I was so unlovable. I just didn't care. But when I would get that letter from my pastor's wife, stick it in my pocket, I'd find a place to get off by myself. Because you see, I knew that Sister Wright was praying for me. And I knew that there would be stuff in that 2 or 3 page letter that she had written that as big and as tough as I thought I was, and as mean and as hard as I thought I was, that letter was written with all the love of God that she could muster. She had let me know that she was praying for me. And so I'd have to get off by myself because as bad as I thought I was, before I got through reading half of that letter, tears because I could feel the love that was coming from that. Friend, I'll tell you what, don't ever forget it. Don't ever give up. Just keep praying. Keep reaching out, because even though they're in a far land, even though they're in a faraway place, and even though their life may be desolate, the Spirit of God can reach to them. A picture of salvation today. You see, not only was he sought out by the king, but then when the king found him, he came back and he was received back into the king's presence. You find here that David, you know, of course, he had the servant to go find him and figure out where he was at, bring him back in. And Mephibosheth, of course, fell down at David's feet, and all of the things that are there. And I'm not going to take time to go through all of the rest of the story from that standpoint. But the thing that gets me is that when David brought him in, the Scriptures lets us to know that David said he was doing it for Jonathan's sake. You see, the Lord didn't just save us today that are saved, and he doesn't want to just save you today because of who you are, because you probably, like me, didn't have a whole lot to recommend you. I hope you weren't as bad as I was, but you see, our flesh doesn't do much to recommend us to God. Mephibosheth had really nothing that David could look at and say, you're going to add to my kingdom. Oh, hello. Oh, but preacher, you just don't know. You just don't know. You don't know what I am. You just don't know the talents that I have. You don't know what I can add to the church. You don't know what I can do. Oh, you see, God can take anything. And as I yesterday was reading some scripture, 1 Corinthians, you find where the scripture lets us to know that the Lord chose the foolish things, the things that are not, the small things, the weak things. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. The Lord doesn't need you. The Lord doesn't need me. Amen. Come on. He doesn't need our talents, because he can take anything and make something out of it. Because in the very beginning, and you still believe Genesis 1? I do, praise God. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. There was light. He said, let the earth bring forth. And he went through all the various days of creation, and he spoke it, and it was so. Out of nothing, we understand that the worlds were framed. How? By the word of God. Oh, let the word of God speak into your heart today. Already been mentioned in this service, and I believe the Spirit of God is already talking to hearts in this place today, that God wants to speak into your heart. God wants to speak into your life. God wants to give something in your soul that will make all the difference in the world. See, he can take something that is nothing. I tell the story almost everywhere I go, many times. A man that came to our church when I pastored in Georgia, retired from the Air Force and was an alcoholic. Man, the poor man was so drunk the day that his daughter got married, and I always seem to think of it when we're at a wedding. And I see the father walking down the aisle with his bride, with his daughter. This man was so drunk the day that his daughter got married. It was all he could do to sort of stay on course, to stand beside his daughter until she got down front. Lame? Yeah, alcohol had crippled him. In a far country? Yeah, desolate in his life. Oh, yeah. Looking for something? He didn't know exactly what he was looking for, but he was there. You see, there was one night about 25 miles north in a little home mission church, a little house that was probably no bigger than this section of your sanctuary right here. And a wall had been torn out in a partition. So between the living room and the former dining area, they've had a little chapel. But God touched that man that night. He fell out on the floor. And when he came to, he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I'm talking about a God that is able to reach you wherever you are. And it doesn't matter how far away you are, or how desolate you are, or how lame you are. He loves you, and he wants to transform your life. That man later became my assistant pastor. I'm talking about a transformation today. I'm not talking about just turning over a new leaf. I'm trying to preach to you today that there is a God in this place, hallelujah, and He wants to transform your life. He wants to make a difference in your life, a picture of salvation today. Yes, it's just a simple story about Mephibosheth, who was a grandson of Saul. Yes, it's a story about King David as he brought him in because of Jonathan's sake. But you see, Jesus loved you. Why? Because you are His special creation. He spoke the worlds into existence, but my Bible tells me that when it came to man, the scripture says He formed man from the dust of the earth. You see, God got His hands dirty to make you and me, and He's willing to get His hands dirty again, oh, hallelujah, to save us, to pick us up out of the pit of sin. He's willing to reach all the way down there and scoop us up. Say, hey, I made you in the beginning, made you out of a hunk of mud. Because He formed us in His own image, made us in His own likeness. And then He did what? He breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. You're different from any other creation that God ever made. That's why you're special today. You see, that's why He loves you so much. That's why He went to Calvary. Not because of your good works. You can't do enough good works. Paul said in Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen. But there's something you got to do. Oh, yeah, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, but that's just the first step. You see, the scripture lets us know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's got to be some seeking on our part. There's got to be some reaching out on our part. We've got to be willing to turn around and go in the opposite direction. How can two walk together except they be agreed? If you're going to walk with Jesus today, you got to change from the old life. I could no longer walk the streets of Tijuana, Mexico. I could no longer walk the streets of Ensenada. And no longer walk the streets of Los Angeles and San Diego and live the kind of life that I used to live. Because when I came to know Jesus Christ, hallelujah, He brought me into His table. No longer do I eat at the pig trough. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You say, oh, what do you know you're talking about today? I'll tell you what I'm talking about, friend. I'm talking about a total change and a total transformation. I told you I joined the Navy to see the world, and I saw San Diego, California. Two good things came out of that. First of all, as I got in the church. Second of all, I married my wife. Sweetheart, stand up. I intended to have you say something today, but I didn't. I love my wife. 31st of July, will be 52 years that we've been married. But you see, all of the things that transpired there, I began to yield my life to the Lord. You see, Mephibosheth humbled himself to the king. And when he humbled himself to the king said, "You're going to stay in my house. You're going to sit at my table. You're going to eat my bread. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to take care of you. You're not going to have to worry about the land of Lodibar anymore. You're not going to have to worry about all of the things out there anymore, because I'm going to take care of you." Can I give God some praise today? Not me, but what God has done since I have been preaching this gospel, yielding our life to the Lord. My wife and I have been in every state in these United States except for Alaska. I have been around the world once, a missions tour of Brother Sism. I have preached in several foreign countries. You see, I always wanted to travel. I wanted to do that. I believe the word of God when He said, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, you may not do all the things that I've done, but God has been especially merciful to me. I want you to know He will do things in your life that you never dreamed possible. Amen. He has allowed us to begin to pastor a beautiful church there in Massachusetts. and has done some awesome things. We have seen some miracles. What's it happening? I'll tell you what, it uplifts my soul, because when I hear and we have someone come and say, oh, we've got a child that's going to be born, and the doctor says it's going to have Down syndrome. Oh, yeah. Standing in the second bench or the first bench, brought by one of the young men in our church, an unwed young lady at 17 years old. She was facing a decision. The doctors wanted her to have an abortion, and she really didn't want to. And they said, you're going to have a child that is Down syndrome. It's there. It's in all the tests. It's there. Had a visiting preacher that day, Bishop. The man's now my assistant pastor. But had that visiting preacher with us that day, and as I walked across the front, the Holy Ghost had been moving after he had preached, and suddenly the Holy Ghost stopped me. And I looked at her, and I said, young lady, I believe God wants to do something for you. And so I turned to Brother Moody, and I said, Brother Moody, come, and let's pray. You see, I don't like for anyone to ever go away from our church and say, the preacher prayed for me, and I got healed. I want them to know that it's God that did the work. And we laid our hands on that young lady, and she stood there. She didn't have the Holy Ghost. She just stood there. But we prayed, and we believed God. Within the next 2 weeks, she went to the doctor, and they ran some more tests, and they said, we don't know what's happened. About 5 months later, she had a beautiful 7-pound little baby girl. I want to tell you what, friend, I serve a God today that can bring you from a place of desolation. He can bring you from a place of no bread, and he can bring you into his house, and there he will sustain you. There he will take care of you. I'm talking about a picture of salvation today. I'm talking about a God today that totally transforms and changes people's lives. What am I? I'm just a dead dog. That's what he said. You see, we've got to have that kind of a spirit about us. God, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. But you see, the God that we serve today, he can take a nothing. He can take a nobody. And he can make something out of it. He can change your whole life. And he can bring you into his table. Bring you into his presence. My friend, you're in the presence of the Almighty God today. Amen. No, it's not about us preachers that are up here on this platform, or perhaps some out there. It's not about the preachers. It's about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's in this house today. I said the Spirit of God's in this house today. And those of you that came in worshiping the Lord, and this group sang today, I leaned over to the bishop a while ago and I said, man, there's a beautiful spirit of worship. Friend, I'll tell you what, God inhabits the praises of his people, and he is inhabiting this place today, and he wants to transform somebody's life. He wants to show you the picture of salvation. Would you stand? Praise God. Give God some glory today. I don't know what you feel like. I don't know how you want to do it, but friend, if you want Jesus to make a difference in your life, you're welcome to enter into this altar today. You're welcome to come today and let God transform. Let God make a difference in your life. He is here. I said, he is here. And all you've got to do is reach out. Reach out. Reach out. The Bible tells us that if we would feel after the Lord, that happily we could find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He's close at hand today. I said, he's close at hand today. Amen. And he's no respecter of persons. I look at this congregation, and again, I mentioned to your bishop, you look somewhat like ours. We've got people from all sorts of parts of the world. Probably in our service today there'll be people from 9 to 10, 11 different countries represented. Africa, Asia, South America, Central America, French Canada, all sorts of folks. God has transformed their lives. So it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what language you may speak. It doesn't matter what color your skin may be. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is today. Jesus loves you. Worship him today, saints.